next one.
All right. Engage. Welcome to the Audit Committee meeting of September 16th, 2025. And we have a quorum, but we're still waiting for Suzette, and she'll join us shortly. First item is approval of the Audit Committee meeting minutes of June 17th.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of June 17th.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so that means I can sign them now, right? Okay.
A man of action.
Well, that was easy.
She said, don't sign those if they don't get approved. All right, next item is review draft cash handling policy.
Okay, I will start off on this, but first I wanted to make sure everybody knows Stacy. I'm sure you do. Stacy has worked for the city since 2008 and was hired as a part-time treasurer, I think, back then.
Yes.
And then went 90% time, like in 2018, and is now our full-time treasurer.
Yes.
And she's also our miracle person.
She performs miracles every day. Stacy's great, a great part of our finance team, and very, very knowledgeable in all areas. And she was kind enough when I came to her and said, hey, we have this fraud risk assessment that we do, and the audit committee has been looking at it, and one of the things that we're lacking is a cash handling policy. And she said, okay. And I said, that's a treasury function. She said, okay. And I said, so let's work on this cash handling policy. And really why it's critical is because the city has grown over time. We receive money into multiple point of sale systems mm-hmm. at multiple locations. And we wanted a policy that both Stacy and I could train department heads and, you know, everybody from a department head to a pro shop worker
yeah.
on how we handle the importance of handling our cash, mm-hmm. how we treat it. And so this policy really just covers those things, the importance of separation of duties
mm-hmm.
And closing out your till every day. We didn't have anything like this. We don't have anything like this currently that we can point back to when we're working with departments when it comes to taking
yep.
in money. And so we thought this would be a good idea. And Stacy drafted 95% of this. And she did a great job, and the idea was to make it broad enough so that we're not discussing procedures, because what the golf course does is going to be different than what the court does, is going to be different than when they're taking money downstairs at the police department for police reports and things like that. And so the procedures are going to be different at every location, but we want to make sure that each department's location has procedures that fall in line with this policy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So no, that was the intent.
So
Hi.
This is kind of a general policy.
I'm so glad you're here. Yes.
So am I. Fine, it's really.
Got it. Here. It's going to be a good night.
We just started on the cash policy.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And I'll just back up just to give some background. This is a policy that is kind of asked for. It's one of the scoring criteria on the annual fraud risk assessment. It's one of the few policies that we haven't implemented yet. It falls under the treasury function, so Stacy was kind enough to prepare this policy. It may seem really broad and not very, very specific, but that's because we do receive cash in multiple locations, and so we really wanted each department to set up their own procedure. Each point of sale system is different. We didn't want to give a step-by-step, and someone's like, well, I don't have that report, or I don't have, you know, this step in the process. We've just identified those things that need to be in any process that they use. Everything from giving the customer a receipt at the counter, if they're at the counter, if we can, in person, to what you do with the check, not leaving the check out in plain sight, and that it's locked up at the end of the night, and then it gets to Stacy to deposit.
Do you make a deposit every day, Stacy?
Yes.
Okay. And what time of day do you do it?
10, 11-ish.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And where do we bank? Is it science?
Balance the till first thing in the morning. That's the very first thing I do, and I try and do it before we open. So
uh-huh.
I come at 6:45 so that the cash isn't all out
good
when we open the doors. So I balance anything with cash here where the public is. The golf course doesn't take cash, police don't take cash, so we are the only ones that handle the cash at our counter.
And we bank for deposit at Zions?
Zions and Key Bank.
Oh, we have two banks?
Yes.
I assume that the concept of petty cash is, just doesn't exist anymore.
It's very, yeah.
We do have it.
Do we have a petty cash?
Yes, we have it, it's in the safe.
How much do you have in there?
$200.
And we don't tell any employees about it, so nobody really uses it.
No one really uses it.
Everyone has credit cards.
Yes.
I mean, if we go to a store, it's typically a store we have an account with, so we don't pay sales tax. And
yes.
We try to stay with those vendors that we have prearranged arrangements with. So,
If one were to violate the policies, I'm sure you're going to get to this. It says there's disciplinary action, but is it in your termination? Is that
it would be
automatic?
It is.
It would fall under the escalation in our employee handbook.
Oh, it still goes through an escalation?
I would say it would go through that process. I don't think it would be immediate. There'd be some due process for the employee always.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it depends on the severity. Because we do have behaviors that are zero tolerance.
Right.
A fire rule on the first offense.
Yeah.
And
like
so
pornography at work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what...
Anything that
again, everything, when we get into those things, everything is a gray area. It's all has to be evaluated,
surely,
judged.
Case by case.
I can
give
an example.
We have to see how bad it is.
I have been newly appointed as a citizen member of the Davis County Audit Committee, which is great because I used to work for Davis County, so I understand the organization pretty well. But they had an instance of credit card fraud with one of their employees where the employee was actually doctoring receipts and turning them in one of their departments. They were able to find that out through the process of I think they got a tip from another employee on that. And even as we sat there as audit committee, this person is still working and they're trying to decide what to do. Do we just remove their credit card privileges? How do we handle that?
You better act quick.
Obviously, they've got to reimburse.
Like yesterday.
Obviously, they've got to reimburse the county for the personal charges.
Yeah.
But there was, deceit there. You know, it wasn't just accidental.
Surprised it wasn't just zero tolerance.
I was surprised too, but they're going through the HR process and going through the due process and disciplinary process, which, in local government always takes time.
Do you, as a matter of course, do you report it as a crime?
I'm not sure what they did at that point.
If it happened here, we would likely report a crime. Yeah.
Even though it's got to be investigated in some way, but you would report it. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I think purposeful criminal behavior is different than an accident, which is severe too. If you misuse your credit card accidentally, that's not a small thing either.
Yeah.
But intent is a huge part of every personnel case.
Did everybody have time to take a look at the policy? Did you have questions for Stacy, our policy superhero?
So is this worth like 10 points on the audit or something?
Five points. Yes.
It's true. It drives me nuts.
I think it serves a greater purpose than that, in that it allows us to put some things in place that we don't have right now. So, especially under the segregation of duties, just under the definitions, they would really like four different people to handle the cash. Everything from the authorization and approval of transactions to making the deposit to then reconciling the bank account and ensuring compliance and things are reported properly. We're able to do that for the most part. If you think the very first step, the authorization and approval of transactions, happens at the city council level through the fee schedule. We're not allowed to charge fees. Even though we process transactions, we don't charge fees that haven't been approved, except for the one time when we did last year, $50 to somebody to reopen their building permit that we didn't have on our fee schedule, and we got an audit note, our auditor's copy. And I didn't know either. I didn't know we'd done that, but they'd come back and they didn't want to charge them the whole new building permit fee or something. So they thought they were doing something nice. And so
we
legally,
got dinged.
We got dinged We got an audit note, and I didn't know we had done that either. There had been some talk about could we have some type of fee, but we never formally put it through. So that's obviously part of the audit process, and
we have now, though. We went to the city council.
Absolutely, and got that done. We did. Yeah. We corrected that immediately. We just hadn't even realized it had happened. And it's, I think, in the greater scheme of things, it was not a nefarious thing. It was actually done with good intention. But this will give us the opportunity to talk about these types of things and to train departments on that.
Sure.
Role one, step one, is at the city council level. Then we have multiple cash handlers all over the city. This is where we're going to have, you know, seasonal pro shop workers, seasonal grill workers, things like that. Everybody from those employees to Stacy, who's, you know, fully trained treasurer, attends Treasurer Academy every year. So we want to make sure we are helping those people understand the critical role that they're playing, that it's, I don't know, that there's more to it than just the transaction itself. We want to make sure that the funds get to the treasurer so they can get deposited to the bank. And then the last step is the role that I do, is I reconcile all the bank accounts. And we have multiple point of sale systems and multiple bank accounts. So I know my memo is kind of, well, I don't know, somewhat boring, but I wanted to point out that these are all the systems on this first page of this memo. So in the admin building, we record transactions related to cash in Cassell. We record them in Express Bill Pay. We record them in City Inspect. The court records transactions in Chorus. Parks and Rec records them in a system called Forte. And then at the golf course, they record sales in five different systems. So their cafe and event center, they record in a system called Toast. The driving range, now that you can go up and just pay with your credit card and get a bucket of balls, that goes through a point of sale system called CardPoint. And then the pro shop, we use Member Sports, Stripe, and Square. So we use three different areas to record our sales. Every month, I pull all of those statements. I pull the key bank statement, which is where all the money goes into the golf course has its own key bank cash account. And I tie the sales to the money that actually hit our bank, the money that then came into this point of sale system that then hit our bank, and then record those into our financial system. So a little tricky, but.
I did wonder about that when it just crossed my mind. I just kind of chuckled because in a couple of my jobs, I have to go into four different apps every day just to reconcile everything. And I did wonder whether it might be expedient to look at something that could be more universal so that you and other people aren't having to like navigate.
I would
so
love
many
that.
Systems.
I would love that, especially for the golf course, because I mean, they have the Member Sports, which used to be Lightspeed, which this is their third point of sale system in the last 5 years. But that's the one that takes the reservations. It specializes in taking reservations and online reservations and things like that. It does everything from tracking the fees and the inventory. So it's very robust in that way. But that's where the sales, that is the point at which the sales recorded. And then from there, I take those sales reports and record them into Cassell, which is our main record, I would say, of financial activity. That's what gets audited, the financial activity in Cassell. So I wish that would be true, but yeah, you can't find something that does everything.
It doesn't do the cash register at the clubhouse, right?
It does do the cash register at the clubhouse. Toast does the cash register at the grill.
Yeah.
City Inspect does the cash register for the building permit program.
I just wondered, Stripe and Square, where we're using those.
So we are using Stripe to process things. Sometimes we'll put out their junior clubs on something called JotForm. So they will create like a Google form. I'm sure we've all filled out now a Google form, I think, from time to time. And there's the ability for this other, you can sign up with this company called JotForm and hook it up to a Square account and essentially take payments that way. And so they have done that for some of their junior leagues. That's how they take their leagues online when people want to sign up to be on a league because they're often doing it not at the register. But they need to be able to do it from home, and so they use that job form to do that.
And this register, Lightspeed, doesn't have the capability of off-site transactions?
It doesn't. It's not that customizable to allow an interface for people. They can make the online reservations, they can pay for like a tea time, but they can't necessarily buy a gift card or things like that. So sometimes the breakfast with Santa, anything that they're doing reservations like that, or when they were doing dinners for the cafe, they were using that Jot form just to make a sign-up spot where somebody could sign up and pay at the same time for a special event. So it's only really used for, rare.
Some of these systems were created for customer convenience. Express Bill Pay is a very strong utility payment system that works great for the customer. So Cassell, maybe could do something like that, but even Cassell is built to work with Express Bill Pay. And so some of these systems have just grown that way. Chorus is mandated by the state of Utah in the court system. So
I guess, do you, Heidi, see any, do you have any problems that arise? I mean, obviously, you'd probably prefer it because it's maybe a little bit of a headache, but are there any problems that you see that arise because of using, nine different forms of
I would say it's during the summer, it takes me probably at least one full 40 hours, a full work week to reconcile their sales, because I go into each of those systems and then I'll say, Tyler, we didn't charge sales tax on this, or something, this transaction looks weird. What I want to do with this, what I'd like to do with this policy is to require the golf course to close out at the end of every day and give me a report that says this is what our sales are. Whereas
and
now we're
balanced.
And it's balanced. Whereas now I'm looking at it at the end of the month and going back and thinking, looking day by day, and like, something happened here, what did you do? And, you know, why you don't take cash, why do you have a cash transaction? And it's like, oh, somebody used an old paper gift card, so we recorded it as cash. So I'm like, you can't, you know. So it's that kind of thing. Whereas if he was doing that every day, he could bring a receipt or a slip of paper or a report to Stacy. Stacy could enter it and receipt it right into Cassell, whereas now I'm just journal entering the information in from each of the system and reconciling them. So,
and would that be under just Tyler's job scope, or do you think
I would think so. He has done that in the past.
I don't know that he closes at the end of the day.
No, but we have three managers there, Tyler and two of the golf pros, and they could rotate through just like any other, like a restaurant or a store. Someone
like
with responsibility can
close
the till, and that's probably how we should consider that.
What he would need is just our help to come in and say, here's the report you need to run to balance. This is the information that we need in the format that we need it, and that we can use to tie this to actually what comes into the bank from that system. So
yeah, because I think 40 hours of your time, you know,
and it's only in the summer, because we're so busy in the summer.
Yeah,
we're so busy in the summer. But it would be nice, because it is a lot of forensic accounting after the fact, especially as we're transitioning systems all the time, because he has gone through several different systems. When we first started the cafe, we ran all the transactions through Square, and then we switched to Toast. But we still do use Square sometimes, because they issue gift cards through Square. So if somebody uses one of those gift cards, it comes through Square.
And what is Stripe used for up there?
Stripe is used for, like, breakfast with Santa.
Oh, she used special events.
Yeah,
okay,
any type of a special event where we're selling like a ticket, ticketed item that we don't want to set up in our like tournament tracking and grade fee tracking scheduling system.
We should make those changes. We'll do that over time.
It's easy enough to do. This actually is goes into the next agenda item, is really kind of discussing how the sales and cash and things work at the golf course. That was one of the things that was really important, to stop the use of cash at the golf course once they started expanding their operations through the event center and the cafe and the grill and the drink carts and all of that.
So the one thing we haven't talked about is the pro shop merchandise. Is that run?
It goes in through member sports. So
because that's an area that we could really be exposed.
We could be. I know they do inventories frequently. They have security cameras there. We do monitor for loss of physical items.
But it looks like it's also an area where there's three different formats that you can pay, which I think increases exposure in an already highly exposure.
Yeah, all of the pro shop sales run through Member Sports.
Oh, so the Stripe and the Square only for the sign up, and then those few gift
it
cards
is. They
that
have,
were given out.
They have just a handful of activity every month.
Okay,
that
so it's
can't,
not that they're
that
regularly
can't be done.
It's like 95% is on Member Sports.
95%, okay. Yeah, 95% on the Member Sports. So they do have those other areas to take in those payments.
And it is good that we don't have paper money up there. I mean, I think even Tyler felt like we were vulnerable at the cash register with part-time employees and others handling paper money.
Part-time seasonal employees, they don't stay very long sometimes.
Right.
We would be constantly, we'd probably have to host a weekly cash handling training up there during the summer and during their hiring season. And I thought this is...
So it's much better that employees don't have access to actual paper money, which is great.
And so the drink carts, the guys going around during tournaments, that's all credit card.
It's all credit card.
No matter what.
And those sales go into Toast.
Okay.
Yep.
So they've set
and
that
tournaments
system
can just pay for, you know.
Ahead of time.
So
they can run a
tab.
Yeah. It works out pretty well. And they've got all the event center. They used to use Stripe when they first started the event center, and they've transitioned to recording event center, just the banquet rental part of it and the catering part of it. They've moved that over into Toast.
You know, a little history. Back in the day when Colin was our city manager, we got ourselves in trouble at the pro shop with selling the merchandise. It was serious. And we had to make a decision as a council whether or not Colin had to go. And of course we kept him. It was like unintentional, but it was bad.
Just like losing merchandise?
That and kind of hinky with the prices. Oh, you can get 20% off. I like you, it's 25% off.
Right.
I think part of the reason that Tyler's been successful is the good old boys were turned away.
Yep.
You know,
yeah, that whole system died.
Yeah.
And we realized we were losing a lot of revenue
from
it.
Yeah.
So friends at the cash register and that kind of thing.
Yep.
Right. The system does allow you to discount things from time to time. I could do see discounted transactions come through from
that's
time
all
to time.
We buy
but
is
it's
the discounted stuff, right?
It's
that's all I never buy.
But it's not anything that would be minimal, but it's something as part of my review process every month to see what kind of discounts he's giving, just to kind of audit a sanity check on that stuff. So
you can find heck of deals in December.
You can
up there if you can find them there.
Yeah.
I remember going out, I had some expiring stuff, and I went up four or five times before I ever caught anyone in there.
Oh.
But everything was...
Oh, I love it. They have shirts, and they have hats, and
if
you're there on the right day, they got some cool merchandise.
You might have just given me a new vice.
Yeah.
They have very, very unique hats.
There's a lot of clothes. Yeah, there's a lot of clothes on sale.
If you want to do something fun, you can go during their inventory. And I'm always surprised. I'm like, this stuff is really cute. This is, they've got some fun stuff.
What is their inventory?
So they, twice a year, they conduct an inventory where, you know, they print out, here's what we show that we have in stock, and here's what's on the floor. And you just, everybody kind of takes a section, and they, mostly their staff does it. They usually give me something easy like hats to do, and I usually go down there with them. But I always find something.
But what's cool about
I'm always like, I could buy something here.
There are people that design the hats on the golf course. They're actually people who are just happen to be employees that say, oh, I think I'm going to design a hat. And
really?
So they've got very unique hats about Eaglewood. It's really cool.
Oh,
nice. I didn't know that.
Well, I'm always happy to sign up and do an inventory show.
It would be fun.
You'll
price some
like
money because I always am like,
I'll
take
this.
You don't like
I'll
that
take
one.
This.
I've got wood with Eagle right down the front. Right. Eagle, that's kind of an iffy one, too.
That's just that EW.
EW?
Doesn't seem right for some reason.
I have one of those too.
Ew.
Ew.
Yeah, it's ew.
Ew.
I like the Dad brand stuff.
So we don't have any objections to this. So the next step is we take this.
I would put it on the next city council agenda. We could get it passed, and then Stacy and I will work with each department and kind of giving them maybe a little questionnaire on what they do now, and we can see where maybe we need to put in some additional controls. Obviously, we can offer help with those if there is a way, we've had to do that at the golf course. Like, we've asked Tyler, please don't deposit your own checks. When you do get a check, bring it, document it, bring it down here, give it to Stacy, mm-hmm. so that he's not making the sale, taking the money, recording it, and then taking it to the bank.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
And as far as having Tyler potentially get trained and he and the managers close out every day, would that be a policy change that we could implement before it comes to council? Do you think that quick?
We could. As he winds his season down, and we just kind of establish what that reporting would look like, what it would take.
And maybe start at January 1 or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When it's
slow.
Approve it now and then.
It would essentially require going in, pulling a report for the day's activity, and then going into the system where that collects the money and make sure that what we sold was the cash that we collected. Because mm-hmm. And doing that on a daily basis so that at the end of the month when we have thousands of transactions and something is off, it's not so hard to find.
Yeah, that's just good practice, I think.
I have kind of an unrelated question, but it's still part of this. When the city develops a policy or a procedure, do you sometimes put this, where do you put this so that a resident can get access to it? Where are you storing those?
Yeah, I think like our employee handbook, we just have all of those stored internally.
Yeah.
I think our handbook's actually on the website.
It is.
Yeah.
That is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But I mean, this kind of thing, I'm wondering.
But I think policies would be great to have a spot on the website.
Yeah.
That people, if they want to look at the policy documents,
right.
they could find out.
I mean,
what policies are.
Don't you
I think?
Think
it's great.
We might think of doing something like that.
I'll make a note of that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I like the idea of taking all the individual financial policies and consolidating them into a single document.
Sure.
So you could just say, here are our financial policies. There are several entities that do that, and it's a pretty nice way to go about it to find what you're looking for.
Well,
you know, you're looking at everything incomplete, right?
Yeah.
When you got it like that.
Not long ago, we adopted the audit policy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's new, but it would be nice to have it.
I think transparency. I think in North Salt Lake, we could use the policy tool more frequently, and we haven't done that, but we certainly could.
Yep.
Especially if we have a location where we say, here's all the city's policies, and everyone can look at them. Know what they are. It almost becomes like a city code. They're not the same, but
it's like an administrative rule.
But it's an administrative mm-hmm. rule. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. I want to say one last thing though about what I noticed that I really liked, Stacy, and I'm glad you included this. One of the things as we've become more mobile, and products like Venmo and other products on your phone can be used. We've had a challenge with that issue because we've had some well-meaning employees who, as we've expanded our programs to, you know, recreation or other things outside of what we just do right in here. But I'm glad we're saying we're not going to use any of those programs.
You mean like Apple Pay?
Yeah, all that
and
stuff.
Venmo.
Because
this is the first place I think where we've really documented that we are not going to do that.
We're not going to do that because.
Where is it that?
It's too
us?
Much exposure.
It I think it protects us also. Having that in the policy statement protects us as technology changes because PayPal, Venmo, Apple Pay. We just
it
don't.
It's on page 2 under cash collection procedures.
Yeah.
And it's the third bullet point.
Good, thank you.
So we just don't want to, I mean, it's a really, something that stood out to me as I read the policy, so thanks for catching that, too.
It is really challenging. I think we have not found a way as finance professionals to formalize those uses, and PayPal, Apple Pay, Venmo always still have to be linked somehow to an individual private account in the city. You cannot get a government account, you cannot get a business account.
Oh, I see.
And so even though we can still have the money go to the city's bank account, that's not the problem. It's the account name eventually ends up, even though it's called something, is linked to an individual. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want my name associated with that.
We don't want any employees'
exactly.
names
on any
accounts.
Yeah. That's very insightful.
that, and we don't want really mystery money coming into the city through different access points.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had the city Venmo and say the safety fair or something like that, one of the, an employee down there decided, well, we're gonna take, somebody wants to donate, right? Somebody wants to donate to the safety committee. And they're like, well, that's great, give it to the city Venmo. That's just kind of an unregulated, unmanaged transaction.
So how do they do that then?
We would just work with them to come in and make a payment at the city.
At the city.
Or if they wanted to make a donation to a city, I don't know, one of our different committees or groups or something like that, if we had a charitable fund or something like that, that we could do it through. I know Bountiful City has, what is it that they have, they've got for their trails program? They have an actual trails program where, and they've set it up online, so.
Did they set up an NGO then? Like a nonprofit?
Best I can tell is it's going through the city.
Yeah.
At this time.
I think there is a nonprofit that's created for the trail group.
Yeah, I
but
I
it's
feel
not
like
really
I've heard
for
that.
It's not really for handling money. It's more to go out and be able to represent themselves as a different group than the city, you know, sponsored by the city, I think.
Because the arts committee, we actually discussed that this last week,
right.
that is in our future, that we should probably set up a
I mean, it could have a good purpose, but
we could do larger things.
Yeah.
And there are citizens that love art and would be willing to donate, but we don't want it going to the city through the city.
We don't want employees soliciting funds. Yeah, we don't want employees soliciting funds, but if volunteers want to solicit funds on behalf of a nonprofit that supports
exactly.
the city, like Friends of the Animal Care of Davis County or Friends of the Children's Justice Center or things like that, their main purpose in their bylaws and their organizational structure is to support that government function.
Yes.
But and that takes the government out from
right.
the donation.
Yeah,
but I think a nonprofit like a 501c3 or a foundation,
mm-hmm.
As I understand it, they can go get grants that maybe the city
yes,
wouldn't get.
Yes, we talked about that.
And
yes,
so,
they can.
You know, there's some advantages depending on the purpose of it.
And different restrictions on
yeah.
the use of the funds
right.
as well, which
that's true
would be advantageous. Mm. But anyway, so I guess they wouldn't be held to these same policies either. So.
They would be different. No, they would have their own internal policies.
I have a question going back to Stacy's depositing. So if you do that in, the, say, at 11 o'clock, funds come in after, you just lock them in a drawer or are safe? Or
We have the cash drawer up front that is not locked right now, but it's back behind
locked doors.
Yes. So. And then every night we put them in the safe.
And the weekend it's
they're all
there.
In the safe.
But you're depositing at 11 a.m. for the previous day.
For the previous
yeah.
day.
The mail comes at 2.
I'm just used to
yes.
know,
right.
end of day.
Yeah.
You take
drive
to the
yeah.
bank.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
And just out of curiosity, how often do people pay in cash and check?
Not very often. I usually take 2 to 3 checks to the bank because I get a stack. Yes, that's people that pay at the counter. We get a ton of people that mail.
Mail.
Lisa brings her check in every month. She's one of ours.
And Stacy gets in her car and drives it to the bank.
I do.
I can't believe it. So it's a nuisance is what I'm
no.
No, it's not a nuisance.
No.
That's the full circle.
I go every day.
Yeah. Yes.
3 people a day write checks.
No, bring them to the counter.
Oh, actually come in like this.
Yes.
I do, yeah, because I'd like to see you.
To the counter, yes.
But we get
love
lots
that.
Of checks
there's a lot
mail.
Of people.
Yes,
yes.
Oh,
they
okay.
come
we
in the mail,
yeah,
and I direct deposit those
okay.
daily.
Those are remote
okay.
deposited.
Yeah.
So
in
we have
person
remote
checks.
Check
yes,
again.
Yes,
and
I scan them.
Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the counter, because we've provided a receipt, it's already in the system because we've entered it into the system right at the time the customer's at the counter.
Well, I like to return the envelope that I don't use, see, because I'm saving the city money.
There you go.
Well, and we appreciate it.
Every paperclip helps.
We have them all in a special box.
We do.
Box.
Boxes.
Oh, that's funny.
There
that's
are,
okay, no, I, that's
there
not
are a
help.
Lot of people.
You
that's
don't need
fine
another
either.
Envelope.
It's great.
It's
it is great.
That is fine.
Every paperclip counts.
That's right.
We did, we had enough where we thought, well, should we send, take them back to Freedom Mailing? Where are they? We've got to figure out where the Freedom Mailing is so we can drive down our yellow envelopes to them.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I get airline points on mine. So I push everything through a credit card.
There you
and
go.
Then I automatically pay from my bank to my credit card every, you know, week, at the end of the week, reconcile.
And then you go to Hawaii.
And then I go to Hawaii. So thank you for my city bill. I love it. It's giving me points every month. I can't wait to pay.
Great.
So I assume we have no objection on this. Send it to the council.
Yeah, I thought it looked good, other than just if we want to add the reconciliation daily.
I think it's in there. I think
it
daily reconciliation
there.
Is in there.
Oh, it is. It's sort of, let's
I'm not sure it would take
it
a change
is.
To do that.
The on page two, cash reconciliation.
Yes.
Oh, it's already there. And then,
so
tiny,
this
will
just
but
be new policy. Then.
Just fix that.
It would be.
Oh my gosh.
I know, that's way it happens.
But before you approve it, right?
Yes. And yeah, the formatting is a little wonky. I'm not sure why that is.
I didn't notice anything there.
But we've got like a hanging header somewhere too, I noticed. Well, that, well, it'll be three pages, not four pages.
Okay.
Deposits.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's. That's what we'll do, and then we will.
Does he take a motion
back
for us to
committee
make
that too?
Yeah, you can make a motion. You can recommend it to the council.
Oh, just a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we recommend the audit committee, the audit committee's cash handling policy for approval by the city council.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. That passed. Okay. Discussion of golf course processes?
I feel like we did that.
Yeah,
I feel
I
like
too.
We covered that because it kind of went hand in hand.
Yeah.
But before we talk, or as the next agenda item, number five, I had some things I wanted to bring up that might impact timing of our next meeting. So I wanted to give an update on where we are at with our annual audit, with our new auditors.
Mm-hmm.
They will be on site next week. They'll be here the 17th and the 18th. And then we should be done with all of our end of the work and by October 6th, and they're planning on coming out to begin their audit during that week. So we're still on target for having everything closed out November 15th, which would mean we would do, well, we don't do a late November meeting, do we? We don't do that second meeting in November, or are we doing it this year?
It's the first meeting that often gets canceled. It was about the election.
Oh, with the elections. That's
yeah, the
right.
Election will cancel. It is actually on the city council day.
So perhaps we have them do a preliminary report in whatever before the November meeting.
Mm-hmm. Like five on the same night.
If that works.
On the 18th.
Is that when it is? November 18th.
You mean October 21st?
November 18th.
I don't think they'll be far enough
along
by then.
Oh, before then. Oh, after then. Okay.
So they will have finished their audit work by then, and we'll be able to report back to the audit committee before formally reporting to the city council.
Got it.
And then we can wrap up any, if there are recommendations or things like that that they can bring to the committee, we can kind of discuss that at this level and then bring it up again at the council meeting. And then I did want to...
Can I make a comment about the 18th? So I booked a flight early, to so I'd be back. And Delta has changed it, and so I don't know yet.
Well, I booked it for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I haven't worked it out yet.
Okay.
But I may be. I hate it when I get like bumped on.
Mayor, I wonder.
I'm gonna have to stay an extra day somewhere.
Oh.
I wonder if the council would want to hold a meeting on the 5th of November, if we depending on how many items we have. That's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Sometimes the planning commission will do that because they have items they need to do. But
I think the council would be willing to, if it's necessary.
If we need to.
Yeah.
I have
fine.
Wasatch Integrated on that day.
Yeah, that's what happens. See, everybody has their... Yeah. Okay. Well,
Wednesday the 19th.
The 5th.
Oh.
The 5th. Yeah. Okay. Well, think about that.
As we get closer.
Yeah, maybe that first meeting in December even. I mean, per the bylaws, it's a quarterly meeting of this committee, so we're still compliant there. Something that came up at the end of August is there is a new asset and investment review task force that was developed as part of this last legislative session.
What's the bill number?
Bill 323.
Okay.
If you want to keep that copy, you can certainly have that. So there, this task force is essentially includes the state auditor, the state treasurer. There's other representatives appointed in there, and they are essentially doing a study to look at local governments, their spending, their net position, their cash balances, and the goal is to really determine, are we holding too much cash? Are our cash reserves too high? You can see who sponsored it there. So I received a questionnaire in August, and it wanted to know things like, tell us your change in net position over the last 10 years, so how much are you growing your balances and things like that. Really specific things. So they want to look at both that as well as how are local governments investing their funds. Are they being effective with that? And one of the last questions that I thought was interesting is they wanted to know, how are we budgeting our interest and what are we doing with all the extra interest money we earned during this time period where we were collecting really high interest. So they're looking for, I think the bill sponsors are looking for things like windfalls, are our cash reserve balances too high, the 35%. Maybe they're looking at backing that down to 25%.
Isn't it funny how 5% is just a really high interest rate?
No.
Yeah.
Wow. What I find so fascinating is one more thing, like.
Yeah. They're trying to figure out if they should get a hold of it and take it from.
Absolutely.
And by the way, it's not just municipalities. It's a whole bunch of
local
governments.
Governments.
So school
districts,
special districts, all kinds.
So this task force, I kind of feel terrible for them. They are tasked with coming up with a recommendation of what would be appropriate by November 30th to bring to the Executive Appropriations Committee of this year. And so we provided them some information, but one of the things they wanted us to run calculations of our days cash on hand and things like that. And I just told them this isn't a normal process that we do and go back 10 years and do that, essentially look at what our ratio is, what kind of coverage do we have for operating expenditures. And I just let them know it's going to be different for every fund. Like for our water fund, we're going to want to have more cash reserves because there's major infrastructure and emergency repairs that have to happen.
Right.
Whereas our garbage fund, is it six?
No.
Okay. Wow, I talked to
you.
Yeah. Whereas our garbage fund doesn't need a huge cash reserve balance because there's no major infrastructure. We buy garbage cans once a year, we expense them, and then we contract out for the service. So really those reserve balances are going to be very specific to how each fund operates and how the city performs that function, whether they do it in-house or contract out. So trying to set these across the board,
it
should
be
this.
Them to mind their own business.
Well, I just looked at it. There's 15 members on this task force. One is a representative of the city.
We need to run up the don't tread on me flag and our flag pull out here.
They sure don't mind treading on local government.
Just
one more thing. And I don't know Stratton. Why, when you say you'll know who the sponsor is.
Okay, I was just thinking of the Val Peterson.
Val Peterson.
Run a lot of this stuff and property tax stuff.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is somehow linked to property tax legislation.
Did you hear about the State Tax Commission? Cragen didn't get reappointed. You don't know how this, the state tax, he was expecting to be. It was a huge blow up.
Yeah.
But anyway, things are changing at the State Tax Commission.
Mm. Interesting. I feel like they've had a lot of upheaval in all of their divisions over the last few years.
There are legislators who have resented for years the ARPA funds going to local government. And they wanted to claw those back from local government.
They did want a specific accounting of that, and they wanted to
see
how that impacted what our current balances are.
Yeah, that's been an issue since COVID, and some legislators really just thought.
You are welcome to keep that.
It was terrible that we would take all the ARPA.
Here's the email I got.
It was always used so much more efficiently the higher up you go.
And this came from the state auditor's office. Now, it came to the finance directors.
Yeah.
Which really I don't even really have any executive authority. I certainly don't have any legislative authority. So I just answered things that I answered the questions with data from our financial reports, our audited financial reports over the last 10 years. And I said, this is from this statement of net position in our, you know, that's where I got the information. Anything that wanted me to propose, and where do you think, what's your plan for the next 3 years for your net position and this and that? And it's sort of like, you don't ask a finance director that. I don't make those decisions on what projects are approved and things like that.
So how did you?
So I just said something that the city does not project net position forward because it's based on timing of capital facilities planning and projects. Mm-hmm. And it's, and the state auditor might not know that. I don't know that they know how all of these local governments work legislatively. Mm-hmm. So I didn't put us on the hook for anything. But
do you know what's so interesting is they'll create this task force and they'll do all of this work and then they'll go to some interim committee in November, and half the people won't be there in the legislative interim committee. The other half, they won't even pay attention to the report. The report will be delivered, and it'll sit in a closet.
Well, is anyone even explaining to them what net position is? What's the difference between net position and cash and cash equivalents and unrestricted cash and cash equivalents? And unless you have, it was very, very technical, and I thought.
It's not like we're Chicago.
Well, my worry is they may see some high balances for a city like North Salt Lake, who everyone perceives as a small community.
Mm-hmm.
And they may say, well, why does North Salt Lake have, you know, $26 million in all these different funds? What are they doing with
all
that public
money? They
have already
put together a little dashboard with metrics and graphs and key ratios. And I told them, so you're showing our PTIF balance in 2023 as being $50,000, or $50 million, sorry. Half of that is related to construction funds that we've borrowed for projects in our process for Hatch Park and Fox. So this gives a really unrealistic. I just pointed out some things to them too.
$27 million was borrowed funds. We just borrowed, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that
true?
So it's not money that we have to pay police wages and things like that.
I think it's easy. It's just easy for people to look at that data and not understand it and draw incorrect conclusions. And I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to work hard.
So I can keep this too?
Oh, of course.
I love this stuff.
Oh, good. Go out to their website, take a look. And you can read their minutes. I finally, nobody heard about this. The Government Finance Officers Association, nobody's talking about this. And so I went out and.
It's a pretty high number, Senate Bill 323. So it was in the end of the session.
Yeah. Hmm. They'd had their first meeting in May, and they were kind of like, well, we don't even know where to begin to collect this data. And so the idea of the survey came out. So it was a very, very lengthy survey, though. Mm-hmm. Pretty
and
expensive.
Every city record, I mean, every city.
There's no requirement to complete it. It just said,
yeah, no,
and I didn't
get
no
requirement.
I got it Friday the 29th in the afternoon, and then we were out for the holiday of the 1st. And so I opened it on the 2nd. Stacy and I talked about it because there were some treasury things in there. And it was due on the 12th, and I turned it in today. It was late. But there's no requirement to do it.
They give you 12 days or something, 13 days to do it?
Well, 10 days, not business days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd make sure I turned it in late.
Well,
intentionally.
It's not required. That's why I pulled the bill. I read it. I was like, let me make sure we're not going to be in any trouble here. Because
compliance rate, you got three cities.
I didn't want to overstep
on
it either.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a journey.
Yeah.
Did we pick another
meeting?
Oh, Wendy?
I think we're going to take a look and see how that November meeting falls.
Great.
Wendy, I stole your pen also. So.
Great.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, Stacy.
Thanks, Stacy.
This was
fun.